It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We're off and running for the penultimate program of August 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to run over and jump into the madcap, merry, zany, wacky, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yep, just pick yourself out a screen name and a password, jump right in, and you will immediately be greeted by members of that aforesaid wacky, zany, etc. In this case, that would be early arriver Anatole, as well as longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become man cave, and pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy on the mend in recovery, not that kind of recovery, like getting better from being sick recovery, Steve from Georgia Stan. Yes, and me. I'm in there, too. Anatole may possibly be the most moderated member of a chat room in modern history, because he's got three moderators. But anyway, come on by and give Anatole some company. It's got to be a little intimidating being moderated by three different people at the same time. What are you doing, getting moderated? Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn, and I can happily tell you that this broadcast is brought to you in its entirety by the subscribers to The Horn. Each and every one of you whose name has been read out over the course of the month, it has brought the previous week's broadcasts to us, because Horn subscribers knock down about a week's worth of the programming that happens here every month. This is officially not a pitch, but simply saying if you would like to be a member of that merry band, well, the subscription option is at headon.live, either via Patreon or via PayPal. Okay? So that's where that is. Let's see. Okay, now we're approaching moderator parity. Brother Deacon Asa has jumped in to make sure that there's four moderators in the room. To the three people who have arrived. Good evening, Squeaky, and good evening, VT Blom, giving Anatole some company. It's not quite as intimidating as it was. We're almost up to 2-to-1 moderation. Well, you know what the ancient Greeks said: all things in moderation. Well, I guess so, particularly in the chat room. If I ever get around to recutting the opening or anything, I should probably just put a disclaimer in there that any disappearance of the program midstream can be ascribed to the fine folks at Appalachian Power. Because, frankly, they could screw up a one-car funeral, or in the case of John McCain, a one-jet funeral. Not making fun of McCain there, just it's a one-jet funeral. His body left Arizona today to go to D.C. Or, well, I'm not. How's that going to work? Ultimately, on Sunday, he will be buried in Annapolis, Maryland, which in another couple of hundred years or so will be, as I noted, underwater. Think of it as a sort of preemptive burial at sea. But what I was getting at is, if the program should suddenly disappear, it will be because, once again, the antiquated, coal-fried, unreliable, rickety-ass, falling apart, improperly maintained, all the money goes into the pockets of the shareholders and very little goes into infrastructure. Power grid of Appalachian Power has failed once again. We had some pretty impressive thunderstorms roll through here earlier. I don't think there's supposed to be any more. But then again, it was a clear blue sky, beautiful day just a couple of days ago, or maybe it was even just yesterday when the program just and was gone. So like I said, I offer that disclaimer this evening and should just probably make it permanent until such time as we've got solar power here and a battery backup system, which would mean at that point in time that we had told Appalachian Power to go and chini itself. Mm-hmm. And a bit of a correction. I was mistaken in one regard. I said that the line of John McCain's had ended. I was wrong. I saw video footage of his casket, presumably with his body in it, lying in repose in the capital of the state of Arizona. And his children came up, and I guess he had six kids. And one of them was John Sidney McCain IV. And that prompted a little bit of curiosity on my part, and I checked, and lo and behold, John Sidney McCain IV has a little baby boy that may actually be John Sidney McCain V. Now, if I had if I had a kid that was named John Sidney McCain, stand by a minute. If I had a kid that was the fifth of anything, I think I'd call him 750. Because he'd be a fifth. But no, there's a John S. McCain IV, and John S. McCain IV has a little boy. And this was the part that impressed me. I hold that military service is honorable. The problem with military service is that you have to be willing to go and do whatever it is that the ostensible civilian authority of the United States that allegedly controls the military tells you to do, and you have to go and do things like participate in illegal wars, because you, while they take 2.5 minutes between chow and go to the head during boot camp to explain the whole concept of illegal orders to you, and you don't have to follow an illegal order. Failure to follow one will get your ass in Leaven. Failure to follow any order will get your ass to Leavenworth faster than the plane, train, automobile, or any other conveyance. So it's a real dice roll, and the way the legal system inside the military is set up, you're better off just following the illegal order and knowing that the entire structure will support you in that than to say you will not follow an illegal order and having the full weight of the illegal operation come down on your head and shoulders. That's the problem. But it is honorable, whether one is supportive of warfare or not, to serve one's country in that capacity. It is, in my mind, equally honorable to serve one's country in, say, the capacity of a VISTA volunteer or an AmeriCorps volunteer or a member of the Peace Corps. Service is service. But that having been said, I noticed that there are two McCain sons, just as there are two adult Trump sons. And the difference could not be more stark. There at the funeral of their father, the two McCain sons, John, who is known as Jack, his grandfather was called Jack, Admiral McCain, and I think Jimmy is the other one. John S. McCain IV, like his father before him, has his naval aviator wings. In this case, he is an MH-60 Seahawk helicopter pilot. And his younger brother is a member of the United States Marine Corps. And they both appeared in full dress regalia for their father's funeral. Compare that with the sons of the present occupant of the White House. Goober One, Goober and Gomer, Udi and Cootie, Don Jr. and Eric, who have never done anything for anyone other than themselves, who have never heard a shot fired in anger, who have never put anything on the line other than their daddy's money. You know, hard and fast rules are difficult, but I sometimes think we need a couple here and there. One of those hard and fast rules would be to say, look it, if you have children under the age of 40 and you wish to be president of the United States, upon your inauguration, they will automatically be mustered into the military of the United States of America. So that if you, as president, decide to fuck with other families' lives by starting some sort of godforsaken war, the machine will at least have to go through the motions of trying to keep your precious offspring from being anywhere near that aforementioned warfare. Does that make sense to you? Because it does to me. I don't like the idea somehow lionizing someone's military service as some sort of prerequisite for ascending to the presidency. Because that can be a mixed bag. Just like someone who's never served in the military, you can get good or bad. But when I looked at Udi and Cootie, or Goober and Gomer, you know, I really like that, Goober and Gomer. But no, because Goober and Gomer both had, they were both essentially good people. Hooty hoot, Sergeant Carter. Right. And of course, if there was anybody out there who was, say, a millennial listening to this program, they'd go, who? Great, some of the great comic characters of the early days of American television, Goober and Gomer. Hey to Goober. All they do is sit around being drones upon the culture. They can't do anything. All they can do is muck around in money. And that does not qualify as doing anything in my book. It just doesn't. So the long history of military service in the United States Armed Forces continues up to the present generation in John McCain's family. Darlene in Connecticut. Don't worry, there's no threat of me changing the intro. Please keep the "In a Big Country by Big Country" bumper. It's not going anywhere. But Darlene, good point, Darlene. Beavis and Butthead have heard shots fired in anger. And again, like Goober and Gomer, Beavis and Buttheads were fuck-ups, but again, there was an endearing quality to them, and I have yet to see any the only people that have come close to even making Uday and Kusay remotely endearing are the team at Saturday Night Live by their rendition of those two as the smart brother and the not-so-smart brother who gets fed treats out of the smart brother's jacket pocket. But Darlene points out, and Darlene's right, subject line, "You're wrong, Bob. Beavis and Butthead have heard shots fired in anger, or maybe pusillanimous glee, from their own rifles when they've shot elephants and lions for sport." Have they gotten a giraffe yet? Or maybe a defenseless little fawn? I'm sure they'd probably spooge in their own pants if they could shoot. Hey, have they gone and shot a mother bear and her cubs in their den while hibernating yet? They'd probably really get off on that. Lee in New York, subject line, POTUS's sons. "The elder two of the three sons should be referred to by their Cartoon Network names, Beavis and Butthead." I'm still with Bart Cop, Uday and Cootie, Uday and Kusay. Because, comparatively speaking, that's who they most resemble, isn't it? And in point of fact, when you get right down to it, it's a slur on Saddam Hussein, but Donald Trump probably resembles him more than any other world leader or world figure. Let's not throw that word leader around quite so loosely, shall we? So it's 18 minutes past the hour, and we are streaming merrily along on both of the happy, happy platforms. And we're hot at TuneIn and Roku and Stitcher and the White Rose stream and at HeadOn.live, all manner of places. Oh, and by the way, it occurred to me, just as we take care of the little housekeeping stuff that goes on the front end of the program, now that we have the stress line back and now that we know for certain that it works and works well, I'm gonna give the number out right now. I'm not saying, call right now or anything, if you want to. Maybe make an extra effort to jot this number down. Area code 304-640-2829, 304-640-2829. And that will, that's the stress line. The other line remains the same, 304-574-8178. Toll free is 844-843-4676. And then there's Skype. But I just wanted to make sure that people have the stress line there, especially people who have difficulty with Skype. I was thinking, for instance, not because anybody I want in or out of, like Friday on the Front Porch, but I think, like our buddy Good Todd in South Carolina stand. Can't use Skype. So people who can't Skype are sort of left out of Friday on the Front Porch. So that'll it'll provide the stress line at least one slot to get into the conversation. Scott in San Diego says, Trump's sons, when it comes to Donnie Jr. and Eric, there's this immutable fact, the road apples don't fall far from the horse's ass. Oh, wait a minute. That's our first cowbell of the evening. Yes, indeed. That's good, Scott. Very well played. So that gets us started. I've got a couple of really good. Oh, wait a minute, Lee in New York. Subject line: moderator. Stop telling us to moderate. I want to be a progressive. Speaking of which, I ran across something. I ran across a post earlier today of someone braying that all nine of Bernie's candidates in Florida won their primaries. All nine. And you know what? Great. Now, either 4 out of 9 or 5 out of 9 of them were running unopposed. So it doesn't say just a hell of a lot. But what was funny, and this is, and this will tell you about the pure, sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade. I pointed out that Andrew Gillum was, he was endorsed by Bernie's operation. But the fact of the matter is, Andrew Gillum in 2016, wait for it, it may be painful. Well, I mean, probably not to the community that remains here. But, don't tell the Purity Patrol. But in 2016, in Philadelphia, are we sure we're all alone here? Andrew Gillum, mayor of Tallahassee, was one of those terrible, awful, no good, very bad delegates for Hillary Clinton. Shh, keep it down. Ixnay on the Ellingay. Because I found out today that if you point that out, that it makes the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade just crazy. Cause they can't cope. It's like I guess to them it's like finding out that the virgin dressed all in white that you've fallen madly in love with is has a prior career as a popular girl in the local bordello. I know, and I'm not comparing Andrew Gillum to a prostitute. I'm talking about the response of the Sparkle Fart Powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade. But it's a fact. And in point of fact, that is an indicator of which way lieth victory. In a joining and a healing of those godforsaken wounds that were opened up and have been scratched at for about 20 months now or more. 22 months now. Because, yeah, November, that'll be 2 years. That's 24 months. Mm-hmm. Coming together and speaking with one voice and eschewing the politics of juvenilia is the only hope we have. Because remember, the other side has, depending on what state you're in, a maggot base anywhere from 30 to 60%. And that makes it an uphill climb. And not to rehash what we talked about last night at any great length, but I like to make sure, I like to feel good about the things that I have asserted. And so after the program last night, I went back and I listened to Ron Monkey DeSantis's soundbite kind of repeatedly. You might even be tempted to use the word obsessively. If you know your Monty Python, you know that there's a sketch out there in which a famous Shakespearean actor is interviewed. And only the humor of the bit comes from the fact that the guy has no clue whatsoever what any of the characters are doing. He just knows how many words he has to memorize. And he judges the characters based upon the number of those words. His name, I believe, is Reg. And there's a line where he talks about some advice from his old acting coach there at the old Vic or what the hell ever. And he says, "Yes, Reg, we've got all the words now. All you have to do is get them in the right order." Well, there's... And he goes on to say, you know, Hamlet's rather of a challenge because there are so many different ways to say a line. You can say to be or not to be, or to be or not to be, or to be or not to be. Well, and that's, you know, that's referred to as the reading of a line, how a line reads, at least in some quarters. Enunciation, emphasis. On various, even syllables. So I went back and I listened to Ron Monkey DeSantis's soundbite. And every time I listened to it, I could hear him punch the word monkey. We don't need to monkey this up. Now, I'm not going to go back and play the clip again, no matter how sorely tempted I am to do it, because it would drive you quite mad. But there's no mistaking the fact that he emphasized monkey and not socialism. So I'm more convinced than I ever was that really was racist dog whistling. And I'll simply drive home the point that it's simple math. If you're running in what appears will likely be a hotly contested general election, and if you're running as a Republican, simple math tells you that in a state like Florida, or by extension, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, Kentucky, North or South Carolina, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, I guess Kansas, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. I mean, it doesn't exactly follow the lines of the old Confederate States of America, is my point. But if you're running as a Republican, you know that some certain percentage, and I would argue a larger percentage in the Republican Party than most people are willing to credit, because most people don't want to look at this country in the clear, cold light in which it exists in reality. If you're running as a Republican, you're going to need some racist, Klansman, neo-Nazi, skinhead, white nationalist, alt-right, European identity votes if you're going to win. And I would dare say that if you do not have them, you will lose. It's that simple. So you need to jump out there early. And you need to be willing to withstand the blowback for engaging in dog whistle racist politics. And the way you do that is by issuing your, and it's not even a dog whistle, you know, it's a freaking blast on a tuba in some states. And then you swear, I'm not a racist. And you know what? Ron DeSantis may not be a racist, but he knows he needs the racist vote. He needs to motivate those sick buck-tooth meth head sister fist and freaks to come up out of the swamps and backwaters and byways of rural Florida and vote for his Republican ass, or he doesn't get to be governor. And that's how dog whistle politics works. It works along the lines of the principle that you cannot unring a bell. And so that bell got rung yesterday. And so now all the Klansmen and the Kleagles and the Cyclopses and dragons and wizards and 33rd degree noble tyrannosaurs and whatnot are motivated. And that's all it took to keep them motivated all the way to November, because they know that Ron DeSantis is their guy. All Republicans are not racist. But I'm comfortable in saying that all racists are at minimum a Republican, unless the Republicans are far too much the sissy liberal and they need to go Constitution Party or Libertarian and follow, say, noted old white supremacist Ron Paul. Exactly. Labor man in the chat room says you got to keep them KKKers motivated. And now they are. The bell having been rung has its peal reverberating throughout the various gutters wherein reside the white supremacists and even the genteel racists in Florida. Yeah. Marty says, Andrew Gillum, delegate for HRC, we all make mistakes. Well, maybe it wasn't a mistake. Because after all, she had a hell of a lot more votes than Bernie did. And then she went on and won by a hell of a lot more votes than Geezer Disgustus got. Yeah, how about that? And her platform was quite liberal, too. Not that you heard anybody in the for-profit media talking about it, but she actually had, you know, the fact is, she actually had a plan for places like Appalachia to pump money in here when the coal industry collapses. The coal industry is still going to collapse again. The coal industry always collapses. One of the laws of extractive industries is that what goes boom goes bust. And the bust is painful as hell for the people who are living in it. Every day around here that I get out on the road, I'll see one or two of those great big flatbed semis hauling, depending on the diameter of the pipe, either two or three or five long sections of coated metal pipeline. And they're going somewhere to put it in the ground until it explodes. Because at some point in time, it's going to explode. Question is how many people is it going to kill, or who's it going to poison? It's just a reality. In regard to the term monkey, Lee in New York writes, would it have been better if he said macaca? Different word, same meaning. That would be George Allen. And George Allen had to wear macaca all the way to November. And I suggest that Ron DeSantis be made to do the same thing. Ron Monkey DeSantis. But Lee points out, having asked, would it be better if he said macaca? Different word, same meaning. I asked an adult child of mine to fill in the blank. That went really bad. We blank it up. Proving that Lee has helped in the raising of some decent children. The first fill-in started with, well, okay. as raised typically average American children. The first fill-in started with the word started with the letter F. I asked for a broadcastable word, missed. I also considered screwed. You know what? I submit that if you gave that question to one of those sample sizes that the polling companies use, say 1,800 randomly selected Americans, that went really bad. We blank it up. I doubt if you'd get monkeyed out of one out of 1,800, unless you had just sort of randomly, accidentally called the home of the noble 33rd degree exalted Grand Cyclops. And then our point would have been proven. Let's see here. I had a couple of notes that rolled in right before airtime. One came from Ron in Raleigh, subject line, for Pete's sake. Ron is holding on to reality for all he is worth right now. Because, that could have just as easily had a subject line that just simply said FFS. Oh, for fuck's sake. But Ron's trying to be decent and not drag the program into the gutter quite so early. Ron says, can one damn day go by without that orange jackass in the White House doing something fucked up? Ron made it all the way into the first sentence of his email before the wheels began coming off. Can one damn day go by without that orange jackass in the White House doing something incredibly fucked up? Today or yesterday, he decided that the Palestinians don't have a hard enough time, so he cuts off all funds to the Palestinian Authority. Reminds me of when W. froze Palestinian assets because of the people he wanted to win didn't win the elections in Palestine. Dolt 45 also eliminated the cost of living wage increases for federal employees because he said it was fiscally irresponsible. Massive tax cuts and military budgets and stupid-ass parades, okay. Pay for workers? Oh, hell no. Finally, he and DHS are not honoring the passports of American citizens because they have Latin-sounding names. Really? Aurelius? Ahenobarbus. Yulee. Oh, no. Oh, good. Hispanic sounding names. Can it get any worse? The sad thing is that it probably can, says Ron in Raleigh. I know. And again, we're back into the realm of statistics. And one of these days, if I took a sabbatical or something, maybe I'd take a semester and sit down and see if I could get through a statistics class in some local community college or something somewhere so that I could understand it a little bit better. But in terms of statistics, you know those 1,800 people we were talking about a minute ago with the "that went really bad, we blank it up" poll question? And what would you put in the blank? Well, I suspect that the reason for the cost of living wage increases by Julius Geiser's regime comes from the fact that he knows that, for the most part, he doesn't have his 33% within the federal civil service. Probably not just a whole boatload of maggots working for the federal government, unless you count, say, the military. But we're not counting the military. So he can screw them, and he gets a jolly out of it. He gets a happy from it. He gets a teeny tiny little stiffy out of it, which can then remind him how awesome Ivanka was. "You were great," he said to Stormy Daniels. "You remind me of Ivanka." Mm-hmm. The business with the Palestinian Authority, though, I saw that, and that's particularly sickening. Because that's taking out a vendetta against people who are so fragile that they're down to throwing rocks. I'm not saying mentally or culturally, but in terms of resources available, the Palestinians are somewhere about 40,000 years ago. They're working with rocks. And they are opposed by people with precision-guided, laser-directed missiles that can slaughter a newborn in its crib. Targeted all the way in. And so the money that goes to the Palestinian Authority goes to things like running water and electricity. Things that if the United States bombed them, well, no, if anybody but the United States or Israel bombed them, we would call war crimes and crimes against humanity. But instead, we'll just withhold the money. Of course, the goddess of irony is in all things. And I remember when the Palestinian Authority's ability to run their sewage treatment plant got capped. And the next thing you know, there was human excrement washing up on Israeli beaches. Because the goddess of irony. You treat somebody like shit, you wind up having to deal with, well, shit. And, of course, withholding those funds is just another way of trying to advance both the apartheid that takes place in that neck of the woods and the slow-rolling genocide that is taking place there as well. Someday there won't be any Palestinians. Then who will the Israelis hate? I don't know. That's apparently the goal, making the Palestinians just go bye-bye. Don't see a lot of Phoenicians wandering around now anymore, do you? Or Philistines? Or Edomites? No. But one of the things that did sort of strike me is that we will actually withhold funds from the Palestinian Authority. we won't even threaten to withhold funds from Israel. And I might remind folks that Israeli citizens have free and easy access to health care, largely because we subsidize universal single-payer health care for Israel, and we won't provide it for our own citizenry. And that's just a fact. Without comment, there are wonderful, wonderful people living in Israel. They have a horrible, horrible government. But we as a government here in the United States are more committed to making sure they have access to health care than we are American citizens. Sorry. I wish it were not the way it is, but it is that way. Apparently, Randy in PA says the Israelis have computer spreadsheets determining what the minimum number of food calories to be given to each citizen, well, non-citizen in Gaza is. Not quite the same thing as the USRDA now, is it? And by the way, also before airtime, a note came in from our buddy Mike in Cascadia. And this, too, is a dandy. A couple of questions if you have a moment. One, in discussions about racism and Trump voters, I've gotten blowback from Trumpansies that, and you know, this is how it always works. Yeah, but we can call those yebbets. The shorthand for typing, I've gotten blowback from Trumpansies, you just say, the maggots yebbeted. Y-E-H-B-U-T-T-E-D, yebbeted. I said X, and the maggots yebbeted. In this case, Hillary Clinton eulogized Robert Byrd. They're on that comes from the same part of the handbook where they... talk about, and we heard it last night, you know, or night before or whenever, that all the slave states were Democrat states. Well, that's because there weren't that many Whig states. And then the Republican states were sort of an amalgam and a freak of nature of about 1858 when the Whigs collapsed. But again, try to explain that to a maggot. You're lost on about syllable two, because they aren't interested in intellectual inquiry. They are interested in yebbeting so that they can own the libtards. I threw away my tickets to the Jason Isbell concert to own the libtards. So you paid for a ticket, and now you're not going to go. Well, I certainly feel owned in that regard. As Mike in Cascadia points out, Hillary Clinton eulogized Robert Byrd. My response, based on reading and what I've heard on your program, is that Byrd apologized for his time in the KKK. He renounced the KKK. And he served in the Senate on the side opposing the KKK. What hurts my argument is that the NAACP expressed criticism of Byrd's apology. I would expect the NAACP to express criticism. But the fact of the matter is, and Mike says, so my sentiments would definitely fall on the side of the NAACP, naturally. What I've learned from you back in the day, the KKK was pervasive in West Virginia, so he likely followed in his daddy's footsteps as a not completely formed young man. Well, what's more, he was orphaned at a young age. And as he was growing toward manhood, he was, I think, a meat cutter in a grocery store or a general store in a coal camp. And that's where he got recruited. And he participated He became a Kliegel. A Kliegel is like a field organizer. And then he got out. And according to the story, he realized how awful they were, because this coincides with the rise of the civil rights movement and the rise of the chain of events that would lead to Brown versus Board of Education. We're talking about roughly the same time period. And so, you know, to have eulogized Robert Byrd, who was considered to be a giant in the history of the Senate, in the entire history of the Senate, a man who dedicated himself to actually learning how the Senate worked and committing its rules and procedures to memory and being a fan of the Constitution and beyond a fan, a scholar thereon, worked his way through law school, scrambled through law school, was offered a seat on the Supreme Court of the United States by Richard Nixon because he was that conservative a Democrat. I did not always agree with him, and quite often disagreed with him, and I can tick a few things right off on the tips of my fingers, right off the top of my head. His support for the bankruptcy legislation, his support for John Roberts and Sammy Alito, and that bullshit story about the handwritten letters he'd received from hardworking West Virginians with circles from coffee saucers and donut sugar on them when it was impossible for those letters to reach Washington, D.C. because it took 6 weeks because of the problems with the U.S. mail. In the wake of things like anthrax attacks. And a number of other matters. But he sure did get Iraq right. And by the time he was doing all of that, you know, his Klan days were in the late 1940s. And it is possible to leave the Klan. And in particular, to denounce the Klan. And so when I'm dealing with one of these maggots who says, yeah, but Robert Byrd, blah, 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 blah. The answer is Robert Byrd renounced the Klan. The Republican Party is actively courting them and has them in its membership and has to struggle to put any distance between them because they know how badly they need the votes. Because if it were not for the way that we finagle and machinate with regard to how we cast votes in this country, the Republican Party would be a dying party. It's a rump party. It's a party whose entire being is predicated upon hatreds, resentments, and good old-fashioned white terror. As Mike in Cascadia said, somehow conflating Trump's overt racism to Hillary's eulogy of a former Klansman is ridiculous, but that's the argument. I don't have any former writings or anything, Mike, that lays all this out, but I've got this. And remember, the Republicans are the ones who are the Christians. And when you say, I'm done with it, and I, you know, not just I ask forgiveness for it, but I repent of it and I renounce it, that's as much as Christianity can ask you to do. And remember, the Republicans are all good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christians. Yeah. Well, I mean, the ones that aren't conservative Roman Catholic Christians, but you know what I mean. Mike says, another problem I'm running into is Uranium-1. It's been debunked, Shepard Smith in particular, over on Fox News. But the New York Times ran an article in 2015, U.S. cash flowed to Clinton Foundation, or not U.S. cash, cash flowed to Clinton Foundation as Russians pressed for control of uranium company. Unfortunately, Mike says, for my argument, the New York Times has the appearance and legitimacy of fact. Trump pansies love to use this article to say, see, Uranium One is a major scandal validated by the New York Times. Yeah, in 2015, but of course, as Mike points out, Peter Schweitzer's book, Clinton Cash, was the source of much of the story. The New York Times had early access to the book, and they say this reporting embellished Schweitzer's story. And Clinton Cash came from the same mindset that gave us back in the 90s the Clinton body count. In other words, utter fantasy, cut from whole cloth, that does not withstand scrutiny. Among other things, the uranium couldn't leave the United States. And frankly, it's a blip compared to the shenanigans with Russia that have been perpetrated by the hero of the maggots. And in fact, shame on the New York Times and shame on the Washington Post for accepting a deal that put them in bed with the author of Clinton Cash and did so without properly vetting the damn book. But yeah, Mike points out, Jesus, the Trumpansies are right now still in a white, and I do mean white, hot frenzy over Uranium One. I guess HRC is nervous, especially if Trump fires Sessions. The jackbooted Trump thugs would love to come pounding her door down, even though they never did any such thing to Michael Cohen or Manafort. You know damn sure they'd love to knock down Hillary's door and drag her out of the house. But I digress. As always, keep up the great shows, Bob. Thank you for the great note, Mike. I don't think Hillary's that nervous. Because, among other things, she is sharp enough that there's probably not a prosecutor in this country who could go toe-to-toe with her. Because, among other things, she is a damned good lawyer. Oh, wait a minute. Cowbell coming for Brother Deacon Asa. Quit telling us how to conspiracy theory, Bob. Lindsey Graham has given up, I mean, to the extent that he ever had it, any claim to decency that he ever possessed. And apparently is angling to be named Attorney General. I don't think she has anything to worry about. And I don't think there's anything to Uranium One. It looks, admittedly, terrible. Awful. Horrible. But that's before you delve into it, and that's only if you take the version of events as presented by the maggots. But there's no there. I mean, really. Now, I mean, I'm sure maybe if you're Jimmy Dore or somebody like that. Who does things like propagating the Seth Rich conspiracy and is halfway to Pizzagate in his own right. There's there. But it does not, the Uranium One does not stand up to anything resembling rational scrutiny. So there's that. As Darlene in Connecticut points out, there always must be an enemy. Trump always has to create new federal workers and regurgitate old Sessions, or the Palestinians, enemies, in order to maintain his self-delusion that he is personally powerful and the center of everyone's attention and everything. It's the modus operandi of the narcissist. If he can constantly lament that he is the persecuted one, daily climbing up onto his cross, then he doesn't have he's got a cross. You know, there's probably an escalator to that cross at this point, not even a ladder. Daily climbing up onto his cross, then he doesn't have to take responsibility for anything. It's always someone else's fault. He remains the center of attention, but frighteningly, with the largesse of the federal government and the bully pulpit behind him. Exactly. One of the things that I noticed this morning, of course, I had to tune in to that, my dirty little habit. Lo and behold, Mika made it out of the pit. And she even had the glue off of her face from where Joe's been making her wear the Reagan mask. Joe, on the other hand, was nowhere to be found. We were promised today that Joe and Willie will be back later this week. She did not, however, say that she would be on the same set when that happened. That seems to be a persistent fang. But along the way, and I confess, I was back and forth getting my morning decaf. I tell you what, decaf tastes a lot better when you try to get a halfway decent blend and you use a French press. You got to be careful with the French press, or if you push the goddamn thing down, the plunger down too fast, you will wind up with some seriously sludgy coffee. But if you let it steep 4 or 5 minutes, and you use good 200-degree water and enough coffee, you get as good a cup of coffee as you can find anywhere. And so I was back and forth making my pot of French press decaf. And that sounds so fucking elitist, Bob, you and your French press. Yeah, it's so elitist. Agnes brought it home for me from the grocery store. She'd caught it on sale over to the Kroger for $10. But it makes a good cup. I'm running way, way low on New Orleans decaf chicory coffee. I'm beginning to worry. That's part of it, is having the decaf, the chicory, right? And it's the roast. So I'm just carefully doling out. When I make my French press, I'll do one coffee scoop of New Orleans style French roast with chicory, and then the rest is the Kroger Private Selection 100% Colombian water processed decaf for a total of 4 scoops. Nice, and you know, it's got a nice body to it. Back when I was a caffeine guy, I couldn't stand weak caffeine coffee, and it's orders of magnitude worse if it's weak decaf. Blech. But I was back and forth from making my decaf when I heard someone, I'll be candid. I don't know if this was being offered as a statement of fact or as a simile or a metaphor or something. It sounded like it was being offered as something that has actually been said. That Donald Trump in his White House says, or said early on, let's imagine this is a TV show in which there's a conflict every day and I win. Huh? I was reminded of that reading what Darlene in Connecticut said. That he is personally powerful and the center of everyone's attention and everything. If he can constantly lament that he is the persecuted one, daily climbing up onto his cross, then he doesn't have to take responsibility for anything. I mean, look at the business with the passports. Denying passports to people who live near the United States border who have Hispanic-sounding names. You know, that's not fake news. That's really, really happening. And it is an effort to create a multi-tiered system of grades of citizenship. If, for instance, you're nice and white and Norwegian, oh, you get a passport. If your name, however, is Hernandez and you live in McAllen, Texas, and your family's been there since before there was a Texas, well, No passport for you. And as is often the case with so many of these issues, dealing with it and asserting one's rights and getting what is rightfully belongs to one means having a lawyer. And having a lawyer means hiring a lawyer. And hiring a lawyer means spending more money than the thing is worth on its face. And so you do what the legal profession refers to as lump it. And you make an economic calculation that it's more trouble than it's worth. Got a story coming out of West Virginia that perhaps we'll get to later this evening on exactly that topic. Meanwhile, and I'm going right to the phones in a second. Meanwhile, Scott in San Diego says, subject line, I don't mean to yeah but you, Bob, but my main issue with the political Damascus Road conversions of people like Byrd or the silly Maverick label that so many easily attach to McCain is this. It's fine that one has a sincere change of heart or mind or both. That said, the proverbial proof in the pudding to me comes down to the answer to this question. How persuasive have these senators been in moving Senate votes into their column, especially when it truly matters? Iraq, bad Supreme Court picks come immediately to mind. Robert Byrd was in his final years and was eaten up by Parkinson's and shaking like a leaf clinging to a tree limb in autumn when he stood and poured the entirety of his being into opposing the Iraq War resolution, repeatedly yelling, wait, stop, hold on. He took affirmative steps against racism and against the Klan in repudiation of his past associations. This one's sensitive to me. Because the grandfather whom I never met was probably a Kleagle. And he was a member of the Klan before Byrd, or when Byrd was maybe 10 years old. I have to hand right here in the studio so that I can always remind myself of it and of the evil of it, an 8x10 black and white photo of a rally in 1922, 2 years, 3 years before my mother was born. And there's a great flaming cross. And there are Klansmen on horseback. There are three great flaming crosses. There are Klansmen ordered like a marching band in the shape of a cross. There are three Klansmen holding American flags propped over their right shoulders. They are all robed and they are all masked. There's three flags on one side, three on the other. Most of the Klansmen have their masks down over their face. There's one Klansman in the foreground whose mask is off his face. There are more Klansmen forming a wall all the way around the tableau. And there's a crowd of citizens, just ordinary, normal, typical, everyday white folks, wandering around, watching the proceedings. I was wrong about the date. Down in the lower right-hand corner, it says Oak Hill, 1924. And the photograph was shot as a memorialization, a memento of that auspicious evening. this isn't documentary journalism of the evil of which West Virginia was capable in 1924. This is a keepsake. It's not a keepsake for me, but it was a keepsake for my grandfather. Because he's under one of those hoods. And while I take to mind what Lee said the other night, that we are not our ancestors, I keep this photograph as a reminder of my family's shame. This is 1924 in West Virginia, and it is at the heyday of the Klan. Trying to see here. Klan March, Washington, D.C. This was probably a lead-up to what happened in Washington, D.C. on August the 8th, 1925. Imperial Wizard Hiram Evans proposed the march, and thousands of Klansmen came and walked through the capital of the United States, marched as a dire warning to the rest of the nation. There were 25,000 of them. Anywhere between 25,000 and 40,000 Klans, members of the Klan. And so, it was, to say the very least, pervasive. Your banker, your mayor, your preacher. Your car salesman, your high school biology teacher. They likely have been in the Klan in a place like this, and more so in places like Alabama and Mississippi. And when its influence waned, the members of the Klan just quit going to the meetings. And they receded slowly into the past. And the fact of the matter is, most of the maggots who complain about Robert Byrd being in the Klan would probably be better off not to do that, because there's a very good chance that they, like me, are the grandsons and great-grandsons of Klansmen of Robert Byrd's generation. It's mighty hard to hide from history. Let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
You know, you presented so much information, I have to reassemble what the couple of things I wanted to say, because I'm not staying in line. Other people want to talk, but wow, that's kind of moving. You know what you've been talking about.
It gags my gut. It truly does.
So, and you know, if folks don't understand, the new listeners to Bob, and I know Bob loves new listeners, and it should. you know, there are archives out there, and you can listen. Because, you know, Bob talks about real things, and you can see progression and things of that nature. But I'm not going to dwell on that. But, you know, something, what you were talking about, that's very prescient, because I think part of our problem right now and what we're dealing with is that people have to come to terms with the fact that you have to grow up, and your parents were not right about everything, and your grandparents were not right about everything. And
in some cases, that's a bitter pill, my friend.
Some cases, you're being nice about it. In most cases, I'm saying this from an empirical standpoint, you know, because that's called foreclosure, like in psychology, when you just take on, and that's what most, you know, folks who aren't doing that well financially, wherever, you know, they don't have a lot of education. They say, well, my daddy did, and that's good enough for me. And, you know, and that's it. But that is empirically, substantiated, you know, for a lot of reasons. But what I'm saying is it's painful. I mean, how are you going to tell people, yeah, you know, I know you loved your grandfather and he fought, but, you know, he was wrong. Nobody wants to hear that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I do. At least I think I do. It sounds like I do.
Right. And it makes people angry. And see, I always try to be devil's advocate, you know, because I could, you know, I know how I feel, you know what I'm about, but I try to, you know, I try to be empathetic. I try to put myself in another person's shoes and see their side of the argument, because that makes you a better debater also. One, that makes a person a better debater, I think. But, oh, man, you see, and that's like, because I noticed that, you know, living in the South, man, these people... Well, that's what my grandfather did, and if I do that, that'll disrespect him. Like, well, you know, your grandfather was wrong. You know, just face facts. He was wrong.
Oh, well, look, make no mistake, there were other excuses, too. Okay, and I'll go ahead and share one with you, because it was presented to me as a sort of apologia for my own grandfather's moral failings.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that, well, you know, the Klan of 1920 was not the same as the Klan that was going around and murdering people in Alabama and Mississippi in the 1950s and 1960s and bombing churches and stuff. I kid you not. And you can still find them in places like West Virginia today. People who will say, well, the Klan back then was more like a social service organization. And one of my favorite excuses, the Klan didn't just hate black people. They were a vigilante group who would go out and haul a white drunkard who was drinking up his check and not feeding his children. They'd drag him out in the yard and whip his ass and tell him not to let it happen again. Which, even if true, Todd, still shows that they are an extra-legal, paralegal, vendetta-based militia that operated outside the law. For whom ideas of equal protection and due process and equal justice under law did not matter. But that's the kind of ex post facto justifications you get. Well, it was, you know, it was kind of like the Kiwanis back then.
Well,
if the Kiwanis were burning people alive and murdering them on the spot, I guess. I mean, you got your loyal order of owls and your Knights of Pythias and your Masons and your Kiwanis and your Raritans and your Civitans and your Knights of Columbus and your Ku Klux Klan. That's bullshit.
That's it.
That's bullshit.
No, that's how they operate. You see, you've got the blue collar side, then you have the administrative side. So you get the guys on the street, okay, and they say, okay, well, we're not bombing people and just killing people outright and lynching people. But, okay, so we're going to insert ourselves in city administration and county administration and law enforcement and we're still going to do what we want to do and what we will do. And I've seen the emails. You know, remember, I monitor a lot of things. So what they do, they say, okay, it's called tag and release. So they want to get as many black males in the system as possible because they know that will young black males, because they don't have a record and they won't be able to work. You see, then they'll say, well, they don't have jobs. Because they really do this shit. Remember, when Trump, I listen to Jeff Rentz and I listen to David Duke. I've been listening to these people for years.
Not because you believe them or not because you are particularly enamored of their message, but because of know thine enemy.
Right. And you know, at one point I used to get paid to do it. I worked for the RAND Corporation for a number of years, and they would pay me to monitor these things. You know, so it's not, you know, and I got used to it. I liked it. I always liked the news. See, I grew up with Mumia. I mean, not grew up with him, but he got a lot of young black people interested in the news because what he would do, he was young. He was like late 20s, early 30s, and he would go around with a scanner. And when something would happen, he would hear it, and he would show up before the news or anything, and he'd be on scene recording, you know, with like Kolchak with a little recorder around his shoulder. And Rizzo hated it. You know, Frank Rizzo hated that. That's why they, you know, and he was an ex-Black Panther, which, you know, that's why he's a political prisoner. But I'm not trying to get sidetracked. But I'm just saying that, you know, all this stuff is related. All these things are related.
Right, and let's...
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Please.
No,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to point out that, you know, I said they sort of faded in, they faded into the background and just didn't go to the meetings anymore. Well, that's true to a certain extent, but they also rebranded. And so, for instance, consider the group the League of the South. Okay? Now, these are the ones who announced their big push to lock arms with white folks in Russia because of all the things that Southern American white guys have in common with white Russians who, up until like 150 years ago, were, you know, owned by the Tsar.
Okay, what decade are you talking about?
I'm talking about right now.
The League of the South. Okay.
Yeah.
So we got to deal with them in the NRA.
Yeah. I'm talking about something that was posted Monday. Seven members of the League of the South holding their devil's diaper flags and their black and white St. Andrew's crosses had a little ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was in Talabama. Let's check
you're
out.
About to piss me off, you're about to piss me off. Go ahead, keep talking.
Okay, but well, I got audio here. Okay, let's see if it's worth a damn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are here tonight as the League of the South to put three items to the flame into the ovens of justice. One is this insidious.
You got that? They're gonna put. They've got an oven. They've got an oven of justice, Todd.
I put the phone on mute. I heard the O, and I was like, "He's not going. The vent is not coming." I'm telling you. All right. The reason you're pissing me off is because look how quickly look whose name is out of the media so quickly. Let's think. Who was associated with the NRA and the white evangelicals from the South? Her name starts with a B, and I think she's still in custody. What's her name? Butina.
There we go.
We ain't heard. When was the last time you fucking heard that woman's name?
Yeah, she sort of fell off the radar, didn't she?
But no, that's too. What the fuck? All this shit. No, all right, I'm getting upset now. Think about it. This shit is, man. This shit, you know, it's too deep, man. These people are scared.
Well, hold on, because we're only 13 seconds into a 2-minute and 58-second clip.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. We're buddies here. Don't apologize. But you have got to go out and get a jar of that fruit and honey strawberry jalapeno spread. You got to, Todd. I'm just telling you. On a little bit of Haagen-Dazs or Blue Bell vanilla ice cream. Woohoo! Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's righteous.
But
the League of the South has themselves an oven of justice. Wait till you hear what they're
putting. Wait a minute. Wait, start it back over because I messed you up. Can you start it from the beginning? Because I let's hear the whole. Please, I mean, I'm not, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Can I hear it?
Yeah. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm ready. Okay. So, I guess it would be fair to issue a hockey puck warning on this.
Okay.
Yeah. Hockey puck, duct tape. Remember, they've got an oven of justice.
We are here tonight as the League of the South to put three items to the flame into the ovens of justice. One is this insidious Star of Rimfan, the symbol of the Jew.
No, really. What they've gotten is an Israeli flag, and they're going to burn it in their oven of justice. Star of Rimfan? I wouldn't know the Star of Rimfan from the Star of Tralfaz. Tralfaz? Yuck. You know, Scooby-Doo gets all the goddamn credit for being the talking dog, but Astro and the Jetsons, Astro was talking up a storm long before Scooby-Doo ever got his first fucking snack, and he was in the future. Tralfaz? Yuck. Sorry. So they're going to burn the flag of the Star of Tralfaz in their oven of justice. We're still on the same page, right, Todd?
I was on mute because I don't want.
Because you're trying not to hoot like a barn owl. I appreciate the solicitude. You just got a note in from Tracy. I just want you to know. Tracy writes in and says, "Breathe, Todd. Just breathe. Letting go now. Letting go now. Letting everything go. In with the good air, out with all the bad spirits. Letting go now."
Ooh, Tracy, that feels much better. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy.
Yeah, it helps. It helps, I tell you. So we're on the same page so far. We made it 20 seconds that time, Todd. Shall we continue?
Okay, bye.
The second is the Communist Manifesto, written by Jew Karl Marx, which was responsible for the deaths of over 100 million people.
No, it wasn't.
This motherfucker, these people are fucked up in the head. Who the hell is this motherfucker?
Well, this is what you get when you've got six or seven generations of, mama knew her brother, and her brother knew mama, and they were sisters and brothers and cousins and aunts and uncles, and I'm my own grandpa. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the best part is there's this little short, and they're all wearing khaki trousers and black polo shirts with their they got so much. Now, here at the Horn, I can't even afford to get T-shirts made. But they got black polo shirts, the League of the South does. And they got black polo shirts with the official emblem of the League of the South right on their left titty. Okay? And I'm telling you, looking at these guys, I do not use the word titty. Just casually.
I was about to ask you, man. I ain't lying.
We got some moobs here, Todd. We got some moobs.
Get Costanza to get him some bros. But they don't like the Jews, so they'll be like, it's a Jew.
No, goddammit, it's not a bro. It's a man's ear. But there's one little League of the South guy, when he starts talking about the Communist Manifesto, nobody else is doing it because they got a flag to hold, but we got one little League of the Souther didn't get no flag, so he just stands in the back and gives a stiff arm salute. And he's standing next to the Irving of Justice, and nobody else is giving the stiff arm salute because they don't want to drop their damn flags, because then they'd have to put it in the Irving of Justice. And so after a little while, he just says, "Oh, fuck it," and drops his arm. These people, I mean, they're not wearing hoods or anything. They're proud to have people see it.
Man, I'm popping sweat now. They don't give a fuck.
How can they have polo shirts with the League of the South seal on the left titty and we can't even... And it's all tax-free. Well, hallelujah. Okay? I bet you the League of the South is a tax-exempt organization.
You know what? It could be. That's what they're pissed off about with this Lois Lerner. You know, remember, we've lost track. I hate to go backwards. They got angry because they weren't getting the tax breaks that the legitimate 501c3s were. And remember, I write grants for 501c3s. I know how that shit works.
Oh, and by the way,
they were political.
Hung Like Jesus reminds us, that's also the uniform, the khakis and the black shirt. That's also the uniform of the Proud Boys. And as far as I can tell, every one of them are bearded, too. Beards are apparently a thing.
Man, you get me off sidetrack. But we have to understand, these people... See, this is not just here. The fascist movement...
is global. It's global.
It's global now. And this shit didn't just start. This shit did not just start. I was in the city when Russia broke down, and all of a sudden, these motherfuckers with black leather jackets showed up, slick black hair, and they were stealing credit cards everywhere. You know, Russia went down. And, you know, as any society does when let me stop yelling. You know, when the economics get tight, they start looking around trying to blame somebody. So they start, you know, the skinheads come back. You know, it's just, that's what we had to expect from human beings at this point, I suppose, in one respect. But the main reason I called is to make sure I had to make sure you were not monkeying up the broadcast.
Hold on. Hold on.
You think Negro are.
That may be, that's an epic cowbell, Todd.
I'm going to tell you something right now, goddammit. I've been waiting to talk to you. I knew you weren't even goddamn liberal hippies. And this is what's real happening right now. I done strangled that man. I got his house. I'm taking it over. I'm going to tell you what's going on right now with Donald Trump. That's a real man. He's a real president. Let me tell you what he done did. He done sent Pence over there to Indiana, and he got him the finest mobile home made in America, made in the world, custom fit. And they done made it. They done broke it down into pieces, and he's shipping up, paying up in New York. And you know they had that fire up there, boy, the year before. He done knocked out two floors of that Trump Tower. He done knocked it out. They land concrete, drainage. He got lawn, he got AstroTurf. They've been waiting to set that thing up in there so he can live like a real man. And here's the best thing right now, I'm telling you, he done got him a 1982 Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit.
Wait a minute, T-tops? T-tops? Has he got T-tops too?
Got the T-top, got the
damn
T-top, and got him a dog. And he gonna retire like a real man up there in that tower, like a real man.
Hot damn. T-tops. I'll be dipped. Well, thank you for calling me down from monkeying up the program. I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, I know how you ping Negroes at. You know, y'all shiftless and everything. You know, I didn't want you to know. No, man. Now, come on. Now, look.
We made it 36 seconds into the clip, Todd.
That's it?
We're only 36 seconds in.
Oh, you said it was 2 minutes and something, didn't you?
Yeah, and we've only got two of the things that they're gonna burn the Star of Trailfaz, and they're going to burn the Communist Manifesto, but they got something else to burn too. By the way, coming from Flavio up in Wisconsin, Flavio says, "Oh, the visual, Bob. I see Meatloaf now doing the stiff arm salute. Remember?" Leave the shirts on, boys. Leave the shirts on. No, you know what? I look at these guys, and I remember that classic SNL skit where Patrick Swayze did the Chippendales auditions.
Who was that with him? Yeah, I know you.
Chris.
That wasn't Belushi's brother, was it?
No. That was. It's another famous dead.
Oh, Chris Farley.
Yeah, Chris Farley. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah, by the van down, sleeping the van down by the river guy. Oh.
Yeah, but, remember when he whips off his shirt?
Oh, shit, now I see it. Yes. Oh, that never, you know what, Chris Farley.
and works it back and forth between. Yeah, I'm waiting for him to fade up the lover boy working for the weekend back here as they stoke their Irving of pure racial purity or whatever. But we still got one more thing to go to the Flames.
I'm sorry, it's just so much so rich.
It's a treasure trove, Todd. It really is. Here we go. A little more.
In the 20th century, and the Talmud, the blueprint for International Jewry's plan to rid the world of the white race, all of these will be consigned to the flames of justice tonight.
And by the way, just in case anybody's wondering, the flames of justice have been lit in the fireplace, apparently, of some state park. You know, you rent the state park shelter, and you bring a few bundles of firewood with you, and you put the firewood in it, and you know you got the kids with you, and you get some green peach tree limbs or whatnot, and forked sticks, and you put your weenies and your mushrooms.
Oh,
really,
shit.
I guess you could do mushrooms. You put your you put your marshmallows on it, and you roast it over there, the Irving of Justice there at the Bo Cephas T. Thumbfuck Memorial State Park there in Alabama.
I got the visual now. That's too damn funny. That's just the scene. Sorry.
But they can afford flags, and they got fucking shirts and stuff. I remember when Reverbo wanted us all to have, like, a Wide World of Sports blazers with the horn crest on the pocket there, and he wanted us to go and do some journalism there at the Creation Museum in Kentucky, and wouldn't that have been just mighty fine?
I have a feeling your day is coming. I think today was. I know we got to finish the clip, but I think today was the precipice. I think this was the cliff. Today was the cliff. And this week, I mean, we hadn't. I mean, come on. This is only Wednesday.
No, this Thursday.
I mean, Thursday.
Yeah. It is the penultimate program of August 2018.
Yeah, it was a bad mess. You know, midweek. Yeah.
I say penultimate because I know it sends the maggots to the little maggot lurkers to the goddamn dictionary.
Well, if they knew Latin, they would know the prefix and the suffix, and they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, well, but they don't. No, they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so we got your Talmud, we got your flag of Trowfaz, and we got your commie manifesto, and it's going to be consigned to the Irving of Justice there at the Bo Cephas T. Thumbfuck State Park there in Alabama.
I want Tracy to show up and hit him in the head. I really do.
It would be funny if somebody just walked in with a baseball bat and went to work, but. Because you need to understand, the flag poles for their stupid flags, those flag poles are apparently, they look like half-inch PVC is what it is. Chicken bones in cold weather, right? But we're having some fun at these nasty little Nazis' expense, but they're dangerous as hell. Because
I didn't mean to mess the clip up, man.
No, you haven't messed the clip up. I only fired up the clip because we were talking. And it's not, you know, it's not just their polo shirts and their flags and shit. They got ball caps, Todd. They got League of the South ball caps.
Well, who's paying for all this?
Other racists. Because it's a big dollar, Todd. I mean, do you have any idea how much money that website that rhymes with light and fart is sitting on?
I don't know, but I'm glad you brought them up. And I had to go off on two tangents right now since you brought it up. Do you understand that they have been using that publication as a reference during Washington Journal?
Yeah, yes.
I find that unacceptable.
You know, I fully expect that I'm going to tune into National Petroleum Radio one of these days, and they're going to have somebody from Light Fart on there. Because they've already, they've already gone to the Heritage Foundation.
That's as far as you can go. That's it. That's the bookmark. That's the end. That's like going to Malcolm X. That's it. Can't go any farther. You know, that's it. If they're going to have Breitbart, they had to have the final call. The final call. You know, if they want to play like that, that's utterly ridiculous. That's such an appeasement to these people who are ignorant. And I'm sorry to go off on that tangent, and I forgot what the other tangent was, so it doesn't matter. It'll come up later.
And you know, they got, as Scott in San Diego says, more like the hibachi of justice. But that reminds, you know, we're almost fresh out of summer. I never did get my big old propane griddle, but I'm very close, and I'm hoping before September's over. Mm-hmm. I've got a little tiny gas grill for traveling purposes. Because the manager there at Lowe's was really good to me one day. He sold it to me for $59. And it runs on
really?
It runs on those little 1 pound bottles, so you don't have to heave around on those 20 pound sons of bitches.
Right.
And they sell it. It's just got grill plates on it now, but they sell griddle plates for it too. And they also sell.
Are you telling me that it has a flat griddle plate on it? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, it comes with grill plates, you know, for grilling a steak or burger or whatever.
Right. Okay.
But
okay.
You can buy as an accessory. You can buy flat griddle plates.
I understand now. Okay. Well, that's not bad.
So I'm determined, and I don't know. We're gonna experiment and go outside and do some horn video or something maybe while we're doing up some, I don't know, really really low rent teppanyaki on the gas grill.
That's a huge deal because really you can cook it between those two things. You can cook just about anything, really.
The design on that thing, Todd, is a hell of a lot nicer than their fireplace of justice there at the Bo Cephas T. Thumbfuck State Park in Alabama, because this thing's portable.
Well,
and it gets some kind of hot. We did some chicken breasts on it that had been marinated in that Goya marinating powder with the...
Yeah, the Mojo? The Mojo?
Yeah. No, not the Mojo. It's a powder. It's Saison.
Complete Saison. Oh, I keep that. Oh, listen, Complete Saison is no joke.
It's made with Anato, A-N-N-A-T-T-O, which is...
Yeah, and it gives it...
That beautiful red-orange color.
Yes, yes, yes. I didn't know about Complete Saison until I was dating this woman from Trinidad, and because all Hispanic people, it's like the Hispanic season salt, but it's perfect, and you know it's very good on pork, and that dried it just a little bit on that. Oh, well, you already know that now.
Well, my cousin turned me on to it, and she marinated whole chicken breasts in it, and we did those on the grill, and then did them, sliced them up for fajitas. Woo!
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, yes. Yes.
And did it on that little portable Coleman grill. And you can just, and it's got wheels on it and everything, you just slide it into the back of the vehicle and go off to your maybe they got one out of camera range here at the Bo Cephas T. Thumbfuck.
Oh, this has wheels on it? Wait a minute, this has wheels on it?
Yeah, and the frame collapses. So you just pull it along.
Man.
So you just pull it along behind you. $60, $59, yeah.
Oh, that was worth every penny.
Retails for
it must use two.
Retails for $210.
Oh well, there's nothing else to talk about. Then. Okay.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we've got a little helpful information courtesy of Lee in New York. Subject line: Talmud. For anyone who does not know, the Talmud does not offer any predictions. It's a collection, and I actually do know this. It's a collection of interpretations of Torah. It tries to explain why people in the Bible did this stuff that they did. P.S. Penultimate, I know that from the Monty Python skit about the Sistine Chapel. Aha. Uh-huh. That's two Monty Python references tonight.
I'm glad Lee brought that up, and that's one of the things that I couldn't write it down because I was listening to. You know, it would be great every time we see the president come out or Sarah Sanders, you know, for the press conference, they should play the Monty Python music. Dun, 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 you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
I think that would be beautiful, but they wouldn't do it.
Probably not. Hey, by the way, Les tells me, get the smoke box, Bob. $12 at the Devil, Walmart. You'll love it. Trust.
The smoke box?
Yeah, it's the little perforated
griddle. I want you to send me the model number for that collapsible. That's amazing. Man, that's beautiful.
It is.
I'm sorry.
And it's pretty, too. Mine's a real, real pretty navy blue. And it's neat because it's got these reservoirs. It's a neat design. You know, you got the gas jets and everything, but around it there's a little reservoir with a line on it, and before you use it, you fill it up with water. And so the grease drips down into that and doesn't catch fire, so you don't have flame ups.
See. Wow. It's a Coleman? Did you say Coleman?
Yeah, it's Coleman.
Mm-hmm. I got to check that out.
And then what Les is talking about is that little perforated metal box with the holes in it, and you just put your wood chips in it, and they smolder in there. They don't catch fire. They smolder, and they get the smoke all over.
Man. Oh, shit. Yeah, get that drip.
But I'm worked up. I want to get these grill plates. The two of them is like $50, and they go on and they go on either side. And you can sit there and do your clang dang ling bing bing ding ding dang bang bing 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 and cut up your steak and stuff and do your zucchini and your squash and your onions and mushrooms and shit, and next thing you know, you got some pretty damn good teppanyaki.
See, maybe you can build like a little platform to put you know the acorn on and the flat grill. Well, whatever, you know.
Ooh,
that'd
be cool. And the other thing is there's a great frame, stainless steel frame that fits on one side that'll hold up to a 12 inch pot. So you could you can get a pot of chili going
so
in cold weather.
You can grow into this. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can do all right. Well, you know what? This is coming to fruition. You got to start now. This is coming to fruition. This is the whole thing. Like you said, because. That smell of those simmering onions and peppers on the flat grill. Oh.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, they ain't got one. Maybe it's out of screen and they're just doing some burgers or something. But they ain't got one of them down there at the Irving of Justice at the Bocephus T. Thumbfuck State Park there, where the League of the South is having their Irving of Justice. So let's go back. Let's go back and pick up with a little bit more of these freaks, shall we?
Jesus.
109 times in the history of the world, the Jew has been banished from our midst. Lord, we ask that you make number 110
come this is a prayer
for our Southland. And we also, Father.
Wait a minute. They're praying for the banishment of Jews from the Southland?
You heard it.
I mean, if they're that upset, about the Jews, shouldn't they be praying for the Jew to? And I don't know which Jew they're talking about, because there are several, you know. But apparently there's one Jew somewhere, you know, somewhere down in Opelika or something that they just want to see leave.
They said Southland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
you're in the Southland.
I'm in here. So what I'm saying is that he's referring to that Jew that said something bad to Leonard Skinner when they were on tour. That's what
is that who it is? Yeah. I'll be darned.
And Neil Young, see? It's all about Neil Young.
Oh, hey, speaking of it, did you know Neil Young just got married?
Hell no. I didn't. What?
Mm-hmm.
I love Neil Young, man. I love Neil Young for the first time I heard it. Damn.
Oh, but wait till you hear who he married.
Who?
Daryl Hannah.
Whoa! Are you fucking serious?
Yes.
You know, you know what? That's
good on you, Neil Young, marrying up.
good for, you know what, man, I like, look, good for him. That's what I say. You know, whatever makes you happy.
Big congratulations going out to the happy couple. They've been.
When did this happen?
Well, they've been seeing each other for a while.
Wow.
And this just happened like in the last week or so. They got married out in California. Yeah, apparently, the gays being able to get all married up didn't do anything to ruin their relationship, and they were still able to engage in holy matrimony.
See, we're back to that.
What a world! What a world! What a world! What a world!
I talked to you the other day, and I know other people want to talk with you, maybe. But I guess one more thing I want to bring up before you hang up on me.
Well, I'm not hang up on you. When have I ever hung up on you? Now quit that.
There was this day in 1963. No, that wasn't it. No. But I don't know. See, you threw me off my, as you say, you threw me off my square, man. You really got deep, you know.
I pushed you out of your lane, man.
You did. I mean, serious, because that's some deep doo-doo, you know. But see, I understand this stuff. Like, you know, growing up in the Northeast, you know, we have Civil War. I mean, I grew up in Germantown and ended up moving back there as an adult. And there's all, you know, it's like a separate little town, and there's all kinds of Civil War. There's all kinds of history going from, you know, the 1600s.
Oh, don't get me started on Germantown.
I love Germantown. Germantown's the shit, man. I ain't lying.
My ancestors had to leave Germantown because the Germans looked at them when the Germans who were already in Germantown looked at my Germans when we got here and said, "Ain't no room for you here. Keep moving, motherfucker."
Man, they had this shit together.
And so they had to keep walking until they got over to where Interstate 81 is. And then they had to hike their happy ass all the way down through the Blue Ridge and stop for a spell in Stanton, Virginia. And then they kept on going. Most of them kept on going. They kept on going south, and some of them split off and became the early German population of North Carolina. But some of them stopped and started wandering up the little creeks. And y'all say crick in Philly, don't you? Wandering up the little creeks and the little hollers and stuff till they found a way to weasel their way through the Allegheny front. And my German ancestor winds up in Lawrence County, Kentucky in 1700 and, you know, 80 or something, or before that, I don't know. Because the folks in Germantown looked at him and said, "Moravian, don't let the sun set on you here."
Well, look, they had their own little. That settlement is no. There's so much history.
Well, there was already. They were
Germantown
all,
is weird.
They were already. They were already. They were already richer than shit by the middle of the. By the, you know, the time the Revolution rolled around, Germantown.
They didn't need shit from Philadelphia. They had a paper factory. They
right.
Had a chocolate factory. They didn't need shit. They ain't nothing from Philadelphia, man. They ain't nothing from Philly. You know,
and I'm going to, and if it all works out okay, and next year Netroots Nation's in Philly, and me and Agnes are going to
you saw that?
And me and Agnes are going to go rooting around in there, and I'm absolutely committed to the notion of taking her to her granddaddy's farm.
That may be when we hook up, because, you know, my people, I still have people there, so, you know, I was in Atlantic City last summer in Philly, but I had other stuff that I had to do.
And by the way, Flavio with an email point is that he said, "No, serious question, Bob. These talking about the League of the South here. These people are dangerous. They're only funny to a point. Where's their funding coming from?"
See, I asked that also.
Right, but there's like I said, and my answer, racism in America is a big dollar, and it's a bigger dollar than most people want to admit.
I believe that. I know that. I mean, right, yeah. No, these people, see, this is, man, I really did not mean to talk this long, but this morning was different. So I guess let me see, because I had to take notes. You were talking about so much stuff, because, you know, you talk about your personal life and everything, and see, the main thing is, it's hard. How do you tell people, yeah, well, I know you love your grandfather and your father.
because it might be your uncle. You know, these people, look, see, you, I don't know. White folks live, a lot of white, a lot, listen closely, a lot of white folks live insulated, you see.
Yeah.
Integration was a great thing. However, what it did was destroy the black middle class in a way, because we had our own things. And so you're going to either get with the program or kind of just wither. Because think about it like this, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but and I don't know how people hear, whoever hears me, I don't know, some people think I'm trying to be white or whatever. And it's something we deal with in school. When you're doing well in school, like I was a kid that carried around a damn microscope and a spectrometer. You know, when you hold a spectrometer up to a star, you can tell what, you know, the gases are, you know, what the star is composed of and the spectrum. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. I just like stuff like that. Anyway, so people make assumptions, and everybody makes assumptions. And, you know, it becomes difficult. I'm sorry, where was I?
Well, I don't know, but we've made it a minute and 23 seconds through the Irving of Justice video. The Scott in San Diego said, the audio video of the League of the South picnic has been highly instructive and entertaining. Will you be sharing content that includes the softball game? They go up against the men of Incel, which is always a nail biter.
Incel. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Right. They, you know, they sound like a bunch of morons. And, right. Exactly.
I don't know if they're going to go up against the men of Incel, because I'm thinking that may be a single circle Venn diagram, these guys.
Well, you know what will happen.
They're like the Incel grandpas who, you know, arms too, you know, got Tyrannosaurus arms and can't reach down there to, you know.
All right. Are you going
to? Yeah, we're going to keep going. By the way, brother Deacon Asa says, notice how he says the G-U has been banished 109 times. Reminds me of Roy Moore's wife with her, we got a G-U lawyer. Well, that's how you say it.
I can't forget that shit. That's so fucking, I can't believe that woman said that shit on fucking national television, man. That's in 2018.
I know.
And then they wonder why people say them dumb Southerners. I mean, come on. The fuck out of here with that bullshit. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I hate when these people make me speak Yiddish.
That is to say, ich. But again, let us change cars. That's Twain. We got a note from Jack in Shreveport. Subject line, trashy food porn. Your mention of jam with jalapenos reminded me of something I haven't had in quite a long time. Cheese toast with... Wait a minute. Cheese toast with strawberry jam and Tapatio hot sauce. Yum.
Mmm.
Oh, I'll take cards in that game. Yeah.
I could do that now.
And you know what? If you ever just want to, like, come up with a little snack thing, you know, people make cheese balls at the holidays and stuff. I've mentioned this before. But go online and look up Rosalind Carter's Plains Cheese Ring. You make it in like a little, you know, one of those little round bundt cake kind of looking Jell-O molds.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's got all. It's
no,
like,
I had that
it's
ring.
Like, it's yeah. It, yeah, it's like Longhorn and sharp cheddar and several different yellow cheeses all mixed together, and I think there's some onions. And then when you're mixing it all up, you just hammer it with cayenne. And you mix it all together, and you smooth it out in that thing. In that mold, you set it, you cover it with plastic, lay the plastic right on top of the cheese so it doesn't get all icky and dried out. And there's probably some mayonnaise involved, Todd, but I mean, I'm just saying.
And, no, but that's a 1974. Yeah.
And you put it in the refrigerator, you let it harden up, you take the plastic off, you invert it because you've sprayed some Pam in the mold and everything, and then you dump a jar of strawberry preserves in the middle there, and you serve it with Triscuits. Or little sourdough triangles that you've toasted or whatever, and you want it, and it's got pecans in it. Oh, it's good! It is so good.
See, those of us of a certain age, that the butt cake, that was a big effing deal back in the day when I was a little kid. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
Bob. I mean, when you saw that chocolate, that bundt cake, and the chocolate was kind of spilled out in between the
Did you ever see that flavoring in the grocery store? It's red in the bottle. It's in a clear bottle. It's kind of a reddish with a yellow tint to it, and it's just called Original Artificial Butter and Nut Flavoring.
I have not.
It may have petrochemicals in it. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it in a while. But if you find it, there's a cake recipe on the back of that for their original from scratch. I mean, you know, you got to go buy the swan's down cake flour and all that shit, and it, you make it from scratch. I mean, ain't no cake mix involved.
Mm-hmm.
And you use a heavy hand with that butter and nut flavor.
I was about to say, man, you know what it's like whipping up eggs and flour? Man, shit, you got to hire somebody to do that shit. That's a lot of work.
God can do it. And I haven't made one in a long time because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and it goes away in about 32 seconds once you get it onto the plate. Gone, but
nothing left with the smell.
If you butter your bundt cake and you flour your bundt cake pan right, they ain't even gonna be no crumbs. And it's good with some strawberries and vanilla ice cream, or just all by itself, nice and warm.
You gonna make me do a bong? Do something?
Oh, don't hurt me, man. I ain't got no bong hits around here.
Listen. Forgot about that. I had these molds in the house. I got all kinds of stuff I got in here.
Well, okay, so you got to make a Plains cheese ring, and you got to go out. Yeah, it's not a Trader Joe's thing. It's probably more of a Kroger's thing or something. But it's red.
The pig. I bet you the pig has that stuff.
But it's red, and it's in a clear bottle, and it's Original Artificial Butter and Nut Flavoring, and.
In a bottle like vanilla. Extra.
It's taller. It's taller. It's like maybe a half a pint, and it looks red.
Okay.
But when you tip it, you can see that it's yellow. It's the damnedest stuff, and the smell. My God in heaven, you could get your girlfriend to put some behind her ears, and it'll be over. Oh, it smells so good. Just smells pretty. Mm-hmm. And it smells like butter and like, you know, nuts, like hazelnuts and walnuts and everything all mixed together. And it's just, whew. But I think we need
Man, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, it's a very comforting, soothing type of smell. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Right, and when it's baking.
I might have some in the cabinet.
And when it's baking in the oven, you just want to put your yoga mat down in the kitchen and get in a lotus position and just go, oh, my God, I can't wait till that's done. Yeah.
Are these people going to burn some more Jews?
No, they'd like to, but they're just burning the set pieces now. Let's get back to them, check in real quick.
Ask you to reveal to the world.
We interrupted their prayer.
That hoax that the Jew has been perpetrating now for 80 years, something called the Holocaust,
what?
Which is nothing but a con game based on all three of these symbols. We consign these to the holy fire of these ovens. For the Gentiles of the world.
I ain't an oven. That's a fireplace, dude, but never mind.
We stand for the white race against all of our enemies, particularly the Jew, and all of these symbols represent that enemy. And we consign them to these flames tonight.
Here we go. They're going into the Irving of Justice. You know, I bet there's probably some air pollution regulations. That flag's made out of nylon or something. That dumbass doesn't realize books don't burn real good unless you like loosen up the pages.
May God make it so.
Then I
hell, Victory!
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, that was their big the finale rack. Yeah, hail victory.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, they got loud when they started burning books.
Yeah, 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 Nazis are like that.
Jesus fuck.
I'm sorry. Wait. I've been wrong. I've been laying this off on my beloved Talibama, land of my birth. It actually probably happened in Tennistan.
Uh-oh.
And the thing was, it was an ecumenical meeting, Todd, because your League of the South and your Oath Keepers and your National Socialist Movement all got together. And the reason they was so pissed off was because Silent Sam got turned over in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we had these folks, and they feel the way they feel. All right. And we have. I don't know if you saw Morning Joe this morning.
I did. I saw a good bit of it.
Okay. So Mika was back.
Joe was not there.
Joe was not there, as you predicted.
So she said Joe's going to be back tomorrow. That means Mika won't be on set.
Exactly.
I mean, this is getting a little silly. It's sooner or later, MSNBC is going to have to address this.
Because
I mean,
do they think their audience
is just silly and thinks that it's just that it just so happens that they can't appear on the same set sitting next to each other anymore?
Okay, Bob. Now we're both sensitive. We're both sensitive men here, right?
I think so.
I'm telling you, right? You know what I'm saying? So I try to be sensitive with my female friends and my partner and everything else because I got a lot of women in my family and I really go out of my way to do that. And what I see from their affect, they're like little high school kids now. There's something going on. I see right through that. I don't know what your take is on that, but it's that spat. But also her right eye, the right eye facing us.
Yeah, her left
her left eye.
There's been something going on with that for several months. And that's not me. That's not me, like commenting on a woman's appearance.
No, we're not doing that.
In fact, I'm laying it all off on Agnes because she's not here to. But she's the one that said, "What in the Sam Hill is wrong with her eye?"
Okay, great. All right, I don't feel bad. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then went on to say things that it would never occur to me to say because I don't know these things. But she said something. Her concealer ain't working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know from all that shit. I mean, there's like yellow concealer and green concealer and purple concealer, and it's all just eldritch dark magic to me, and I'm just lost.
Well, I don't know. Something's not right. Something is awry. And remember, all those days Joe was dragging. I mean, he was really just making it through the broadcast. These past couple weeks, So, like you said, they're going to have to address that issue. Because, like you said, we're not the only ones to see that. And there's one, I really want to ask you an important question. I think it's important.
Okay.
All right. This has to do with logic and the FBI and justice. Okay. Now, Peter Strzok and his girlfriend were demoted, reprimanded, and, of course, Peter Strzok was fired because of emails associated with the case that he was working on.
Right.
However, the AG, the Attorney General, and the Inspector General of the AG, they found that it did make a difference in terms of how they conducted the investigation. You know, and maybe you can make a case for that because the facts are facts. Just like if Trump complains, well, you know, they're wiretapping Trump Tower, it's like, well, maybe because like criminal activity was happening. You know, like, why are you looking at the crack house? Well, because they're selling crack. You know, it's, you know, but this is what I don't understand. Using that logic that he should be held to that account and be fired and everything else, what about all these local law enforcement, you know, town, county, state troopers, you know, constables, that we find that have these postings online and have
that goes back to what I was saying about, you know, Fayette County, West Virginia, 1924, when your banker was in the Klan and your barber was in the Klan and your car salesman was in the Klan and your general store proprietor was in the Klan and your preacher was in the Klan. Okay.
So we've
got something similar here, and it's harder to out them now. But it is more pervasive than anything that we dare suspect.
Not that I suspect. I keep track of it.
Well, okay, then most of America suspects. But, you know, all kidding aside about, you know, horn jackets and horn polo shirts and, you know, horn underwear and whatever. All kidding aside, they've got swag. They got merch.
Which means they're organized.
Yeah. And that they've got and they've got money for it.
That's the other thread I wanted to touch on. Right. Going back to the Butina. Now, and it's so funny how she's hushed up now because I think this thing is so huge with the NRA. Because, you know, I was thinking about this now. Remember, you're not allowed to have private ownership of weapons in Russia. It's not like here. But what if they could open that market up? Because there's only so many guns you can sell. Guns last, a good gun will, you know, they last a long time. What are you going to do with it? It's, you know, it's like an anvil. I mean, you know, that's going to, it'll be there when you die. You know, it's made for high percussion. You know, that's what it's made for, to last. Otherwise, it'll blow up in your hand. So they got to expand their market. Just like this South Africa shit. See? And Eric Prince, you know, Eric Prince is evil. He's got his hand in a lot of pots. And his fucked up ass sister, you know, trying to use school funds to fund teachers with guns. You know, I'm telling you, man, I would be terrified. There's enough to deal with in a classroom. I don't want anybody around me with a gun on. Because I'm telling you, teachers are people, students are people. That's a terrible idea. That's what you have security for. You know, because you will miss. I don't care if you get one person. Who's going to, you know what I say? And I really mean this, and I hope people repeat this because it's just totally logical. Okay, fine. Texas, you control a lot of our education because you're so large. You're so populous. You know, you determine our school books.
What gets printed and what doesn't.
Right.
You know, those history books where people came from Africa as workers and just decided to stay.
Right. And it's disgusting. So, you know what, though? All right, you want to arm your teachers. As soon as you start talking about that, you better start talking about who is going to pay for these injuries for these children and other people who get injured in crossfire.
Pay? What are you talking about pay?
What are you talking about pay?
Ain't going to be no pay.
Somebody's got to be responsible for these injuries. Let me tell you, it ain't like the movie. You know, handguns are notorious. You can't, look, everybody, most cops, you know, they miss more than they hit. Okay? Look, unless you're 10 feet in front of somebody, unless you go to the range every day, and if you do, you probably got lead poisoning from the vapor popping when the bullets pop out, unless you're outside. You know, it's just it's a terrible idea.
Well, yeah, and look, let me, Todd, while we're talking, let me put a question to the community and to you, and I'm sincere in this. And I know we share a lot of overlap between the Horn community and Malloy's community. And anybody who's listened to Malloy over the years knows that while Malloy is not a big fan of guns, that going way back to when he was being threatened by the Christian Reconstructionists, you know, a member of law enforcement, I've heard the story, told Malloy, my best advice to you, get a damn gun. Because these people are serious and they're dangerous. And Malloy did. And he has one to this day. Well, I think my feelings on guns are pretty well established here. Mm-hmm. But almost as a sort of memorialization, let me note that we've kind of been on pins and needles around here for a few days now.
Why?
Well, you know that this state has a horrible, horrible drug problem.
Right.
Between the pills and the meth, you know. Yeah. And we don't have anything in the way of law enforcement.
What do you mean?
When the pill head rear-ended my wife several years ago and totaled the rusty red pickup truck, it took 30 minutes for a cop to get here.
Damn.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And we've got roving bands of miscreants and monsters who will steal anything that's not nailed down. And in a couple of cases, have burned people alive.
What?
Yeah. No shit. And we, how do I put this? We have been probed. We've been cased.
You need to get a shotgun, man. I know you don't like guns. You don't have any little kids in the house. You got to get a shotgun. There's no way around it. I'll get a pistol. You got to get a shotgun.
I don't like the, but it's getting a little creepy here.
Yeah.
It was weird. Okay. So last night I was on the air and I took one of those lengthy pauses. I actually muted the mic because, you know how when somebody knocks on your door, this looks like, you know, right?
Just to see if you're home.
No, if somebody's legitimately at your door, you know, can I tell you about the Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, three times within about 10 minutes last night, I heard,
yeah. All right, no, I don't play that.
Just a little light faint tap, and I muted. That's when I said, "Hey, wait a minute, be back in a second." And I went back into the mansion, and I hollered to Agnes. I said, "Are you like putting in a nail to hang up a picture or something?" She said, "No, why?" And I said, well, and I explained. And it probably wouldn't have been anything except for a couple of days before, while we were here, a couple of the locals who are known to have been burglarizing houses and yet somehow managed to not be in jail,
mm-hmm,
came to the door. They pulled up in the driveway, and we know them. They don't live far from here. And knocked on the door and, you know, under some pretext, asked a question. But then the one got back in the car and drove away while the other one walked down through our yard, long ways down through the acre, just checking stuff out.
Fuck that.
I've seen him in the convenience stores and stuff up at the Rippy Mart and whatnot. He walks around strapped with a .45 caliber semi-automatic handgun.
Oh my God! I forgot about your state. Oh my God! And he's all drugged out.
Oh yeah. I mean, it vibrates like it's. He's so methed up and pilled up, he vibrates like a struck tuning fork.
Zombies, man. What is going on? It's so funny you brought that up. And I sent you a picture from the local paper because I'm not. The local paper is 75 cents. I'll buy it once in a while, but I'm reading it, most of it online, but that's way too much for like 5 pages to read. I'm sorry. I go to the library. At any rate, the crime report was, oh my God, it was the longest I'd ever seen. And it all looked like drug related stuff. I'm quote unquote, I'll just say junkie. What's going on? Between the meth and the fentanyl, these chemicals are everywhere. And see, I'm worried.
Right, and in a place like West Virginia, which is in the subject to the tender mercies of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have law enforcement sufficient to deal with the problem. We do not have beds in treatment facilities sufficient to deal with the problem. Our court system is not sufficient to deal with the problem.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. When I've had to go, do you know what they told me? Because I live on the, like, nice side, I guess, quote unquote, nice. I mean, it ain't that nice, but it's better than the other side of town where all the growth is. And they say, well, take care of that for yourself. I'm like, yeah, but if I do that, I'm going to kill that motherfucker and then he'd be coming to get me. They're advocating.
Yeah, because your black ass does not get to stand your ground. Okay, I mean, not in South Carolina, it doesn't.
They told me that shit. That pissed me the fuck off. And then they're going to like run my license. I call them and they take my license. Like I'm doing something wrong. I just looked at them. I'm like, okay.
Oh, and by the way, the last thing this bunch is alleged to have stolen.
What?
They went into an old man's house and stole all his guns.
You know why?
You know why? Because in some parts of the country, people might, sew some gold Krugerrands into the mattress or something. Or they might, have some jewelry or something. In Appalachia, we store our wealth in firearms because firearms are almost immediate. They are almost as liquid as cash and more fungible.
I remember you saying it's like currency.
Yeah, it is. They stole those guns and they had the guns fenced before they could ever get caught.
Done and done. Well, they already know where to go. They probably got dope and, whatever. Keep them up for another few days. This is like when the crack first got down here. The people who lived out in the country, when you can't see the back door from the road, and they kick in the back door. This is before people started getting the gate, like in the city. When I say a gate, like a wrought iron type of security gate that closes like a door, but it has no glass in it. Or sometimes it does. Anyway, people who live in the city know what I'm talking about. What concerns me, what you're saying, is the lack of response and committal from the law enforcement. And honestly, from what I've seen from these rural law enforcement, that's the best thing that ever happened to them. They ain't got no education. That's a good white boy job. I'm not trying to be pejorative, but that's the truth. These guys that don't have no education, that's the best thing that ever happened to them. They ride around in the car all day, and they go see their girlfriend for a couple of hours and knock some boots, knock that thing off and go. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I'm ancient, but not feeble.
I'm not intimating that at all, and neither is that. But I'm like, I know. But you know what I'm saying. That's awful. And see, so what they're telling you is like, well, we got standing. What they're telling you is to get your own, protect yourself. That's what you're saying to me. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm feeling from you. And you don't want to be put in that. And who wants to be put? I don't want to be put in that position. I don't go out at night that much anymore. I really don't. When we go out, we go, it's just weird. because they're not out here.
Understand. You know, we don't have any guns. We damn sure don't have any jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what they're going to carry away?
You need to get a shotgun, then.
The horn.
Well, they're trying to get the equipment. And see, that's what I was about to say, because I see these people. I know some of these people, because I hear them talk. It's like, you know, you hit me to the stump liquor, and you were absolutely correct. Man, people start drinking this stump liquor, they argue over silly shit. Like, well, my shoelaces are longer than yours. People will go to blows over that. Silly shit. So some of these people are saying people will ride around with a pickup and a trailer in the back, and they know when people are at work or whatever, and they will knock down the door, they'll steal their AC unit. Anything they can scrap, they will steal it. And you can see them. I think this is happening everywhere in rural America. And I live in, I mean, this is rural. This is like a little town, but, you know, as soon as you cross the line, you're in the woods. And so, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know what I mean, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the Popo, and they know what's going on, which I think they're corrupt. They know where this stuff is at. Because, come on, they have to know. This mess is getting out of control. I'm going to tell you, like I said, I'll never forget. I did this shit one time. I was 15. The good shit from the fucking Warlocks. You know what I mean? In Philly, the motorcycle gang. Because, you know, one of my friends, she was dating some dude. One-inch line. Tiny line. I was high for 12 hours. I was speeding. I felt like I was going to come for 12 hours. And it hurt. Well, it burned like hell. But, man, when that burn went away, oh, my God. So that was that with that. So I can't imagine what this shit is like now. Oh, my God. You see how these people look all weird and all greasy looking and unwashed. And, you know, they up to no good. What are we supposed to do about this?
And I got no answer.
You need to get a shotgun, though. Because you said, like, look, they're not coming out to see you. Like you said, it took them a half an hour to get to the crash scene. And you got, you know, I don't know if your son is still there or whatever, but, you got to look. And it's not pretty. It's not. I got rid of mine, but I mean, my shotgun, but, you know, who knows? I didn't think it was safe anymore. Nobody wants to have. Nobody really wants to have a gun around. It's a pain in the ass.
Well, it makes you more nervous than you were in the first place.
Exactly. Like, why do I have to be here with a gun? Why do I have to live like it?
Note from the Blue Hen on Twitter regarding your conversation with Todd. It's not just rural America. San Diego too. I take that SD means San Diego.
Mm. Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, just kind of a heads up. I mean, put the information out there just so folks can know what's going on here. So
do they know what you're up to? See, that's the other thing, because you live in a small. I know what it's like to live. I can imagine what it's like. I really can. I've been in West Virginia, so I understand what you know. I'm not trying to get too specific, but yeah, you know.
We don't have a big flashing neon on air the horn sign outside, but you know, and I don't go around broadcasting it, but yeah,
it's still a small community, and we're in the South, and you know how what's that about? So I mean, what that is about. And it's different.
And I don't have no Trump sticker on my car or anything, so.
Like everybody else?
Right.
What's wrong with him? Why don't he like Trump?
So.
Yeah, straight out of Idiocracy. Why you don't got no tattoo? Unscannable.
Man, That is really, you know, and that's the whole reason he decided to settle. there is to be at peace, raise your children, you know, in a nice way.
Get away from them assholes in Germantown. Yeah.
You know. But
just saying.
Man. Just saying. Well, I really appreciate you getting through my conversation, and the time is moving fast with this. I don't. We're at a precipice, man. When I was listening to Morning Joe, that's the truth. It's not, I don't want to say between good and evil, but I mean, if you were still a Republican at this point, you know, when these people are, I mean, what's next?
That's a great question. If you're still a Republican at this point, how do you explain it? Well, ain't got nowhere else to go. It's that or them Democrats that want people to be able to go to the goddamn doctor when they're sick, fucking commies. What do you got? Well, I ain't no racist. No, but you vote with them. That don't make me one. Well, kind of does.
You read my mind. That's it. Make them say, well, why are you with them?
I mean, I see it all the time over on my buddy B-Rez's page. Here come the goddamn Democrats. Everybody who voted for Trump's a racist. Well, you know, I mean, if the shoe fits. Well, I ain't no racist. I have some very fine Negroid friends.
Oh, okay. Speaking of Negroes, now this morning after Washington Journal, they interviewed... I forget who interviewed him, but it might have been. No, I know who it was. It was Greta. Interviewed F.W. Buckley. I thought he was related to. I don't know. He might be related to Buckley here. I don't know. But anyway, so he's a Trump supporter, a neoconservative. And he was just spouting lie after. And Greta was just looking at him like, wow. Yeah, and he was a nasty looking man. I mean, he looked like he smelled like old fish. He just was just a nasty, evil looking man. And I hate to get into how people look, because maybe, I mean, I'm attracted to my woman, but maybe I'm ugly, so I don't give a fuck. But what I'm saying is that he was just nasty. His whole personality was nasty. And, you know, it's online, but these folks, Brett said, well, the economy is great. Everything will come after their jobs. And Greta was asking him hard questions, which he could not answer. And she was very polite, and she moved on when he was not answering her questions.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was with the guy who, Carlos Cubello?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
From South Florida?
Yep.
Yeah, I was watching that, and come on, Mika, ask him about climate change. Ask him how long it's going to be before Key West is all the way under fucking water.
He couldn't commit. He couldn't do it.
I mean, he made some mouth noises about how you all criticize Donald Trump when he needs criticizing. Well, what time is it, Carlos? When's there a time of day when Donald Trump doesn't need fucking criticizing? When is there a second in a day when Donald Trump isn't a white supremacist?
What are people around? You know what, Bob? God, doggies, man, you get me going, man. This is serious stuff we're talking about, man. I mean, seriously. Now, look, when are the people around the president, our president of the United States? It doesn't. He's our president. I hate the motherfucker, so do you, but fuck it. That's our president. When does this orange piece of shit, this mentally ill fascist? When do the people around him say, okay, I'm sorry, you're mentally ill, and you know, what do we do? Because who's really, he can't, he's not, wait a minute, let's be fucking real, right goddamn now, right fucking now. How the hell? He gets his fucking, he told us on the trail, he said, somebody said, well, where do you get your information from, because you don't read? Well, I watch the people on the TV, they know what they're talking about. And now we know what he was talking about. It was like, I watch Fox News, and I like Sean Hannity. So he gets his fucking information from a college dropout who's a fucking dope, okay? And Alex fucking Jones, and that's why he's coming out with this more fascist bullshit about we got to freeze the press, because Alex Jones' Twitter feed got fucking shut down because he's a fucking moron.
Yeah, And so meanwhile,
straight with this shit. Goddamn motherfucking straight.
Well, yeah, right. So let's not run past this because it's kind of important. I don't know if you caught this or not, but it's worth mentioning. He called the media the enemy of the people again today.
See?
And it happened on the same day that the FBI finally got around to taking down a maggot in California who was threatening to murder people at the Boston Globe after the editorial about not being the enemy of the people was published. They finally took him down. Now, here's...
Finally.
Yeah. Now, here's the problem. Mm-hmm. He was charged with a federal crime. He will therefore be prosecuted by some U.S. attorney in California.
Mm-hmm.
That U.S. attorney was appointed to his or her position by...
Trump.
That U.S. attorney's boss... is United
Beauregard.
States Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, who, let's remember, used to think the Klan was pretty cool till he found out they smoked the marijuanas.
Unbelievable. The unconvicted
person. So, my prediction is this guy, this maggot, who should be... put away for, a nice, healthy 5 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
It probably will get a Laurel and Hardy handshake from the Trump administration. Or perhaps be referred to as very fine people.
That could be a problem. I mean, it could happen. But, we're dealing with an administration that has been nominating federal judges, the low-level people, the stuff people don't pay attention to, not Supreme Court, low-level, but it means something because it's still a lifetime appointment. Folks, you try to get somebody through who never had tried a case. You remember that? That's unacceptable behavior.
And then, lo and behold, even though there's a counter argument, Chuck Schumer cut a deal to go home for vacation, and let a good handful of maggot judges slip by onto the court, when one lone solitary Democratic senator could have stopped each and every one. And the question is, Todd, the question is, are we serious about the fact that this is an illegitimate president who has been implicated in multiple felonies? And if we are, why are we sitting around letting him put people on the goddamn bench?
No, and I'm so glad and you're absolutely correct. And you know what? Everybody should be up in arms about this. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. When you look at the quality, I mean, that's his prerogative to appoint people, yes. However, he's been appointing people that are corrupt, ill-equipped, don't have the intellectual tools, and then can't do the job. Now, that is not acceptable.
No, it's not.
And wait a minute.
Just while we're keeping up with all this shit, one of the judges that slipped through on this deal was rated not qualified by the American Bar Association.
Like a lot of other ones. No, it took a Republican to strike down the judge I was talking to. I forget his name. This might have been last year.
Yeah, John Kennedy.
I mean, it was so embarrassing that the Republicans like, okay, so you're telling me you... Right. A lot of them are unqualified. A lot of them. But they don't care. They don't care. This is going to be a real big problem. But wait a minute. Why does he... Okay, so listen. So we understand that the Republicans are better at parliamentary procedure than we are. For whatever reason, I don't know. We don't have good parliamentarians. I don't know what's going on with that. So you know, Mitch McConnell is very good at this. So he saw our shitty ass pick for forever. You know, he cut one of Obama's nuts off by saying, okay, you're not getting a judge for a year. Somebody who was as moderate can be. We have no idea what he would do. Meanwhile, now we are, and this guy, this mentally ill fascist, someone who was under all these investigations, was clearly guilty. Clearly. I mean, after last week, his whole family's guilty. And remember, go to C-SPAN. The evidence is there. Donald Trump Jr. is definitely going to prison. His shit is fucked up. The whole packet of information that the DOJ got is on C-SPAN. It's PDF. It's just fucked. But, I mean, of course, Donald Trump is guilty of obstruction of justice, but they can't do it. They don't want to do anything until he got off, which he may never leave office. But he has no business picking a judge anymore. That's it. Look at Gorsuch, that piece of shit. You know, talking about activist judges. He went against president with his first ruling. He fucked up. Fuck him. I'm not getting loud, am I?
No, you're doing fine.
Wanting people to sit with cargo and freeze to death, and that shit had already been litigated. He went.
Well, are you aware of the latest indignity?
No, I'm not.
So this will take me a minute. So bear with me, please. There was a horrifying story that has come to light. And when I read it, I was reminded of how not too all that long back, Professor Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist and good upstanding convert to Roman Catholicism. Not, I'm just pointing out because he wasn't a good convert to Southern Baptist. Okay, it's not about Catholic versus no. But you know, he found himself some religion, and then married the woman that he committed adultery with on his previous wife, and then Trump appointed her to be the adulterous ambassador to the Holy See of Saint Peter. You with me so far?
Like Callista the vampire?
Yeah. A story coming out of Vermont, Burlington, Vermont, of an orphanage, and stories of among other things, a little orphan boy being thrown through a window by a nun and, you know, killed.
Damn.
And a brand new 4-year investigative report has determined that the horrifying claims, the sickening claims, are corroborated. Yeah. It was St. Joseph's Orphanage, run by the Montreal-based Sisters of Providence. It closed in 1974. There were children there from the 1930s through the 1970s. One woman gave a 19-hour deposition of the things that she saw, including the little boy being thrown to his death.
Damn.
This is nightmare stuff on a par with the things that the church was doing in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
When she saw it, another nun grabbed her by the ear and just dragged her away and told her she had imagined what she saw. She saw another boy thrown into a lake from a rowboat. And when he went under the water, she asked the nun if the kid drowned. She said, "Oh, don't worry, he's gone home for good."
Damn.
100 former residents of the orphanage filed suits against the church in the 1990s. And, of course, that was before all the shit hit the fan, and it got more or less whitewashed. So that is, let's see. One night, said another witness, Sherry Hustis, They heard terrible screams and rushed toward the source, where they found two nuns hovering over another nun, lying on the bed with her legs spread and a black baby emerging from between them. One night, said Hustis, they heard terrible screams and rushed toward the source, where they found two nuns hovering over another nun, lying on the bed with her legs spread and a black baby emerging from between them. The following day, the baby was in the nursery, where Hustis helped take care of younger children, when a nun came in, picked up a satin pillow, and put it over the baby's face. The baby flailed, and then went limp. And when the child told the social worker at the orphanage what she saw, the nun from the nursery slapped her across the face. Merca. So there's a new there's a case making its way that made its way to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the case, Fulton versus Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And it was the city of Philly. It was Philly, the city of Philadelphia. And they had contracts with 30 agencies for placing children in foster homes.
Mm-hmm.
And the private agencies helped in the screening process to put the children in a suitable home. And as a matter of law and as a matter of contract, the city of Philadelphia said the agencies couldn't discriminate on the basis of sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, marital status, familial status, so that a same-sex couple, for instance, could take in foster children. And the city of Philadelphia and the agencies could not refuse based on their same-sex status. Well, the Catholic Social Services, remember that was a Catholic orphanage we were talking about a few minutes ago, was one of the agencies. But Catholic Social Services said they wouldn't certify same-sex couples as being decent foster parents. And when the city confronted them, an executive with Catholic Social Services said, "I am following the teachings of the Catholic Church." So it made it all the way to the Supreme Court. Here's the good news. The city of Philadelphia's policy was upheld.
Hear, hear.
So foster children can continue to be placed with capable, decent, qualified same-sex couples. Yay, a victory against discrimination. But three members of the United States Supreme Court dissented. And in there, Kennedy's gone. But in their dissent, they said, "Screw it. We'd rather send an orphan child to a group home or an orphanage instead of letting them be put in foster care with a same-sex couple."
Damn.
Probably won't take a whole lot of guesswork to figure out who said that. It was Sammy Bad Breath Alito, Ann's Boy Neil, and Coke Can Clarence Slappy Thomas.
Yep. After all that evidence, right?
And they stood by the plaintiffs, who said their religious liberty and freedom speech was being violated because the Homer Sectionals was going to take care of a baby. And Ann's boy Neil said, I agree. And Slappy Thomas said, me too. And Sammy Badbreath said, sure, whatever. Forget about it.
Forget about it. I'm almost
See, I'm almost numb at this point.
Well, I'm sorry. And I'm just a hard ass here. I think if we ever get the Senate and the House back, we need to impeach the fuck out of Neil Gorsuch because he was appointed by a felon president. And the fruit and the fruit that came from that poisonous tree is as poisonous as the tree was.
Absolutely. And a good look, Bob, I know you've already started crafting that argument because remember, and I can see your mind working now. Remember, that's one of the most powerful things a president can do is nominate and get through a Supreme Court justice. And if that president is that corrupted, that means that Supreme Court justice has no business being in there because he's in there for life according to our Constitution. Therefore, and we can't do anything about the cabinet and all the wrecking they've done, but we can do something about that. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. We can't turn back the clock, but we can try to reset. We can try to put stones back on their foundation and start rebuilding our country. Because make no mistake, our country is being disassembled. And our constitutional governance is being disassembled. And by the way, that case is not over.
Mm-hmm.
It will continue. It just got sent back to the lower court.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, we've come to learn from our Supreme Court that corporations are people, right?
Human beings, my friend.
Well... Right. They're human, right. Mitt Romney said that. So it must be true. He's rich and he's white. So what if we viewed the Catholic Church of the United States? I think that's a separate entity. I think. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't want to speculate. I mean, I know it's all the same, but, you know, it's like different divisions or different international bonds. But my point is that it would seem like after all of this evidence, the Catholic Church in the United States should lose their tax-free status. Because if you look at them as an entity, as a person, let's say you look at the Catholic Church.
Well, how about,
person,
you know, how about we put them on?
This person would be a pedophile, a serial rapist, a destroyer of human dignity.
Yeah, how about we put them on probation at the very least? How about probation? You know, you can put a company on probation. I think. Why not put the Roman Catholic Church on probation?
Because it won't do anything. Come on, man. This has been going on forever. It's a cult. Do you understand that there's rumors that the devil itself lives in the basement of the Vatican? I've been to the Vatican. It's a weird, creepy place.
I was there as a teenager. There's some
it's
beautiful
weird.
Stuff
it's
there,
like,
but yeah, it's got a vibe. It's got a vibe.
It's got a vibe. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't want to be here at night. I can admit, man, no, hell no. And, you know, Rome is nice at night, but not around the Vatican. Fuck that.
See, we're getting to that time of year where I keep trying to think about, you know, one of my bucket list things, Todd, is to go and take that walk from down in the Forum to over where the Theater of Pompey was on the Ides of March. I just want to do it. It's just, you know,
as the sun sets, Bob, as the sun sets.
No. You got to do it in the morning.
Oh, to see the sunrise over.
No. It's to experience the same walk that Julius Caesar took before he was assassinated by the right-wing conservatives of his day.
Oh, you know, that's so appropriate. I was not thinking along those lines. Yeah.
I love Rome. There's no place like it.
I'll never forget. We ate at this one place, and it was like somebody's house almost, you know, and we were a small tour. I don't want to get into all that, but yeah, it has a certain, it's something to it. Just like D.C. and New York have a feel. Downtown, like Philadelphia by the water, by the Delaware, has a certain, you can feel when people have trodden along a certain area for a long time long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can feel the spirit. Yo, what are we going to do, man? This is getting ridiculous, man.
Well, it is. I just got to share something with you. It's a breaking news alert that just came from the New York Times. And I'm literally sharing it with you at the same time that I'm digesting it. So, okay. You know the Harvey Weinstein affair?
Mm-hmm.
Well, earlier today, Geezer Disgustus was tweeting about how there was going to be some big revelations about fake news and NBC. Mm-hmm. Well, 60 seconds ago, I got an alert from the New York Times saying that NBC News tried to spike Ronan Farrow's reporting on the Weinstein matter and said it was not broadcast ready.
What does that mean?
Well, the inference is that that NBC News tried to spike the story because they didn't want it to go out and
that's what I mean. No. News is news.
It's sleazy as shit. By the way, and I don't know that it's the same Harvey Weinstein, but at one point in time, maybe she still does, Mika had a contract to write 3 books for Weinstein Books, a publishing house.
Hmm.
So, here's the question. Who's the rat inside the New York Times that's leaking shit to Donald Trump? This alert came in at 8:52 p.m. Every bit of 10 hours ago, 12 hours ago, maybe longer, he was hinting at it.
Uh-oh. Oh, he was. Oh, shit. He did. That was in The Hill. Yup. I love reading The Hill. Yup.
So who's the mole inside the Times? I got no answer.
I don't know either. And you know what else is going to come out? Anybody's talking about three people. You remember Bars Epstein?
Some, not really.
All right, I can describe him. He kind of close shaven, almost bald headed. Kind of looked like a bouncer, burly guy. He would speak on behalf of the Trump administration.
Okay.
Bars Epstein. And his name was not Epstein or Stein. It was Epsty.
Okay.
Yeah, that is real Eastern European. It was like, that was his handle. And then he just poof, disappears. After all this Russia stuff starts coming out, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, poof, disappears. His name will be coming up soon. Watch this. Watch out for it. And the other two people to watch out for, Jefferson Beauregard and Giuliani. Now, how in the world can they not be questioned by Mueller?
I don't think there's any. I guess we know that they haven't been. But there's really nothing to question Beauregard about. Because it's all of record and under oath before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Well, he should be fucking in prison.
Well, I've said all along that that's probably the easiest get of any indictment that Mueller could pursue. But, you know, what do I know? Hey, Todd, we got to get out of here, man. What a conversation.
Oh,
this is
sorry.
An epic one. This was for the ages.
I'm sorry. Oh, hey, man, you take it easy. And thanks for dealing with me.
Dealing with you, man. It was a pleasure. It was a joy. These are always fun and enlightening and informative conversations because we go all over creation, and that's what makes Conversation Radio so damn special. So thanks, Todd. That's our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. It is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our subscribers who brought you the program tonight. Thank you very kindly indeed. They've been bringing you the last week of the programs, and they do so every month. Thank you to all of our subscribers. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you earlier this evening to Sparky and Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Headon.live, thank you. John Fox in Australia, thank you. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.